Shalom, good morning. This is Radio Shalom coming to you through Planet 104.6 FM. Shalom, Danielle.
Shalom, Joan.
Well, I'm delighted to welcome in the studio this morning Danielle Grant, who belongs to a rare breed of a Jewish woman politician, who's actually involved in local body politics. So, Danielle, it's so good to have you here. It's a bit different from where I see you sitting in the local board meetings. And there are not many Jewish politicians that are involved in local government or central government in Auckland and in New Zealand. It's really odd. So I think you come from a family that's a bit involved in local government.
That's right. So for the last 5 years coming up to, I've been with the Kaipātiki Local Board, which is over on the North Shore for Auckland. And I have a cousin, a first cousin, Mike Cohen, who is on the Devonport Takapuna Local Board. And Mike has always been a wonderful mentor for me. And it's he's been in politics for many, many years, and he's always been an aspiration. And Mike and I actually have a cousin, an aunt who was Ruth Gottlieb. And Ruth was a Wellington City Councillor for many years in the 90s and early 2000s, and an absolute inspiration down in Wellington for many, many years. Simon Wolf is down in Wellington as well. So, again, not very many that I know of, but I'm certainly very proud to be a Jewish woman and in local government politics.
Well, I just wondered, because Jews love arguing, and we certainly have the social justice morals and so on, and that... you know, more argumentative people haven't gotten involved. But I have noticed that we have maybe big meetings about something or other with councillors. And Mike and I are the only Jewish people there.
I think you were talking, when we were talking a little earlier, the senior panel is one of the things, Joan, that I've seen you as a real leader for our community in. And hearing your voice coming through is always an inspiration. And I think locally in our Kaipātiki community, and I think some of our listeners might know it as Northcote. Obviously, there's a by-election happening there at the moment. So we call it, from a local government perspective, Kaipātiki, but in central government it's called Northcote. But then when we look at the makeup of our community, it is inspired by so many volunteers. It's such a strong community-focused space, place to live. We're so incredibly fortunate, and I see my role as a local government politician is to support and encourage and nurture that volunteerism, that community spirit that for us is so incredibly strong. For me, it's important to give voice to the community who have so many ideas of their own. So when I see you, Joan, as a real community leader for so many years in our community, our Kaipātiki Community Facilities Trust, our Birkdale Beach Haven Community Project, our Women's Network, three only of the organisations of the many, the Auckland Council Seniors Panel that you're involved in, so many of these groups come from, I think, that opportunity to speak out, to be vocal, to be heard, to encourage others to step forward and to take action, but often for the betterment of all, whether it be environmental, whether it be social. All these things are really important and very special as part of our Kaipātiki community.
Well, I think we were just talking about Kaipātiki, which has a record, I think, of being a very involved community that are very volunteer-focused, but that get up and do things. And I think it has a special aura about it because it's a custom now that people work together that they're environmentally involved. They even get excited about pest eradication. Horrible.
Absolutely. I think one of our pest-free Kaipātiki strategies is something I'm incredibly proud of, and that really started out from 20 restoration groups throughout our Kaipātiki community who came together, wanted to make a difference for getting rid of pest plants and pest animals in our native bush. And I suppose Kaipātiki has 30% bush coverage, which makes
it's fantastic.
It is amazing. It's such a special place to live. And so Kaipātiki has the largest urban bush closest to the CBD. And really, behind the Hanuas and the Waitakaris, Kaipātiki is that next special space. And the only way I see us actually managing the pest problem that we have is actually with our volunteers, because I think our council can only do so much, but it's the value of the volunteers. And I think what that provides is the opportunity to get out and engage and to be with other like-minded people and to actually do something and to care and to share. And I think in terms of council's responsibility to our community, there's a difference between what council can do and what central government can do. It, from a local perspective, local council perspective, our responsibility is to the environment. It is about our parks. It is about our playgrounds, our libraries, our swimming pools, all of those places where we can recreate and enjoy and be together and to walk and to sit and to bump into each other, but to genuinely care for each other, to actually engage. And I think that's one of the most important things that our community houses and centres and our libraries and our citizens' advice bureaus, all of those places that actually bring our volunteers together to actually strengthen and support what is an incredibly diverse community in Kaipātiki also. I mean, we've got 24-25% of our community are Asian, and I think when we see the work that our CAB do in Northcote, our Citizens Advice Bureau do in Northcote, I mean, that's amazing work, and it's so focused on our Asian community. But then our communities in Beach Haven and Glenfield and Birkenhead are different again. And again, there's, I think, those different support services that our community houses and centres, again, are providing. But it's our volunteers that are so integrated in all of those community projects that actually support the wider community.
Well, I think what's important is, first of all, they need money for what they're doing. So they rely on the local council, the local board, or when it comes to Auckland. Otherwise, they can all give their hours, but there needs to be funding as well. And not all boards are receptive to that. But I think the youth are brought in, you know, when they clean up a beach and pick up rubbish, and I think, what? How can you get kids to do it? You know, put their phones down long enough. But they do, and they feel good about it. And then there's the opportunity, particularly in the community houses, for people of all ages to have recreation. And, you know, at Beach Haven, one of the biggest groups is the ukulele group.
Yes, absolutely. They're quite a talented bunch.
They're a talented bunch, and they go around entertaining.
They do. They do.
Know? So it's a teacher who's joyful and entertaining and welcoming. And people go there because they have friends, become friends, and they learn to play the ukulele, and it's great. So you never know which endeavour is going to be successful or not. But again, the volunteers do need support. Mm. They need to be told what valuable work they're doing so that they can feel good about it.
Absolutely.
And I invite friends and so on.
To be part of that. It was lovely that you touched on the importance of youth in our community. So we have our Kaipātiki local youth board, and we also do a lot of work with our children's panels. So we have a wonderful partnering organisation, which is the Kaipātiki Community Facilities Trust. And we have a youth navigator, and that's Sonia Nerney. And so Sonia's role is very much about inspiring and working alongside our young people from the Kaipātiki local board's perspective. Hearing our youth voice is something that we absolutely treasure and value. So each month at our community forum meetings, our formal board meeting in the evening where we hear from the community, we have a local youth board representative sitting at our board table, and they are there to provide an update to us on what's been important for youth. But they also have the opportunity to engage with all of the community groups that are coming and talking with the local board. And for me, it's one of the absolute delights, because we're seeing these young people grow and engage and share
and it'll
their,
be a future,
their perspective.
I'm actually meeting with them to talk about the youth perspective of age-friendly city that I was telling you about.
Yes.
And Sonia is doing the organising.
Yeah.
So we will have to report first to you, and then hoping that you will say, I think this should be reported to council, so that they will feel that they're being listened to, that the sort of Auckland they would like to inherit is taken aboard, so that you have the youth voice saying, this is what we have now, this is what we'd like, or this is our vision for the future.
Yes. And certainly along those lines, one of the roles of our children's panel is that each school term we have at least 400 pieces of feedback from our mostly intermediate age children within
That's
our community.
A good time.
Yes. And whatever the particular topic might be for the month, they'll actually do a written feedback form and actually share that, and that information gets brought back to the local board and shared through council. So one of the recent projects they'd done is plastic-free Kaipātiki, and what was their thinking about that. And it's asking those interesting questions that allow our young people to truly shape and be involved in what the future of our community looks like. So I think when we were talking about accessibility, that's incredibly important for all of us as well, because we know our community like to get out and walk, and they enjoy our tracks, and we want to create those access ways, those linkages between our town centres, between our recreation spaces and our larger population density and our transport nodes. We want to be able to connect all of that together. So our age-friendly city, I think, is a really valuable and important aspiration for us.
Well, when they talk about age-friendly city, we are talking about all ages. Mm. But also when you make plans, and I've seen some of the plans for Auckland Council, and there were walkways and there were bicycle ways, but nothing for disability. Mm. And in fact, trying to find a place in the centre city which is accessible is impossible.
Mm. One of the things that I'm enjoying working on at the moment is the redevelopment of Northcote, and that is going to see a greenway that will run right through along the side of the Northcote Town Centre, and then behind Onipoto Primary School and Northcote Intermediate. And that greenway, Awataha Greenway, is very much, the thinking is very much about accessibility and creating that connection between the 1,200 homes that are being currently redeveloped in the Northcote area and the school and the town centre. So a lot of walking, cycling, but very much accessible in that shared community space.
It's a very interesting community, and it's a good opportunity to make sort of visions come true, because the local space is changing. There's going to be far more buildings going up, more apartment dwellers, and they're difficult to contact once they're in apartments.
Mm. Which is very much why for Northcote I'm a firm believer that we need to have those social agencies, that those networks established, so that as community arrives into the area that they already have that opportunity to engage. They know where to go because we already have those places established. So it's wonderful to see the Kaipātiki Community Facilities Trust who have actually just establishing some new networks in there. We have Hearts and Minds, who obviously also do an amazing job in the CAB, but we have the Art Gallery, the Library. There's so much sort of going on, and it's so important to keep those existing spaces so that when new community arrive, that they already have places to support them as they integrate and enjoy what Northcote will offer in the future.
Well, I know that the sort of plaza we have by the library and so on, you find the Chinese doing Tai Chi in the mornings or dances. You find the kids playing in the playground, and you have a feeling of a community. How that might change, as it's quite small at the moment, but it's the foresight of the councillors of Northcote Borough Council that we've got that open space, that we've got playgrounds there, that we've got flowers growing there, because I've spoken to Tony Holman, who gave me the history. Yes. He said to him, every time I walk through there, I thank those councillors who had that vision of an open space.
And certainly with the redevelopment of Northcote, having that civic heart, that open space to be able to gather and enjoy is so important. And there's a beautiful big tree in the middle of Perm Crescent, and there's been a number of us who have said, actually, that tree really matters because it's so beautiful. It provides the shade, but it provides a sense of place to sit and enjoy.
And people play mahjong there.
They do. So I think there's those beautiful, important qualities of Northcote, I would hope, and I'm certainly speaking loudly for, will be retained in the new redevelopment as it goes through over the next 5 to 10 years.
Okay, now I'm seeing you as a Jewish woman politician being able to have vision and seeing the visions come to fruition. Why is there only one of you?
Exactly.
What made you get into it besides Mike?
Oh, so for me, I've always wanted to be a voice for my community, to be able to hear what the community is saying and to actually advocate very strongly for what my community believes. So I've always been involved in community projects in one way or another. I have a strong passion for communication and design. That's my earlier background. So to be able to engage with and to share ideas back to the community for me is actually really important. So I spend a huge amount of time networking within our groups, within Kaipātiki, connecting one group with another group. How can they have a shared vision and how can they have a shared outcome and a goal?
But what I'm looking at is how did you start?
I think for me it's always been a passion. I think from when I was very, very young, I had this vision of me talking in front of people, listening to and sharing ideas. And I think it wasn't until much later in life that I took the brave step to actually stand for election.
That's what I'm getting at.
So I was.
When did that happen? Jump over the hoop, so to speak.
So I had taken a wee bit of time off when my son and daughter were first born, and when my daughter was 5, she said, "Mummy, you don't do very much. You just drive me to school every day," or, you know, Jackson and Sophia. "You just drive us to school every day. You know, what do you do?" And I went, "Aha, now is the moment." And so I went to a candidate information evening, and I'd been talking with Mike, my cousin Mike Cohen, for quite some time, and he said, "Oh, you know, 3 years, you know, get your social awareness up and engage a bit more and get your name out there." And, okay, Mike, yep, I hear you. So I went to one of these meetings and spoke to an elected member, and she said, "No, you're not going to start in 3 years' time. You're going to start campaigning in 3 months." So I got elected 3 months later, and
You're photogenic, lucky for you.
I worked incredibly hard to actually really get to know my community and get that name recognition, but to actually understand the important issues, and haven't looked back. I love my job. Absolutely love my job, but I love my community, and it's actually being there to be their champion, to represent what's important and to connect and keep us moving forward, because we are so lucky to live in such an amazing place as Kaupare.
We are, but I must, as a community development worker, tell you that there are times when the community are not very nice, and they're stroppy, they don't all agree with each other. And when you say the community's voice or the community's this, they have 100 different voices and everybody wants you to listen to them. And when you do something, they, instead of being grateful, they tell you off.
Yep.
So, you know, so the community doesn't speak with one voice.
No, it doesn't.
So this is making life difficult too.
It does, absolutely. And it's about finding that way forward. And for me, it's about... when I make decisions, for me, it's about listening to what the community has to say, understanding what the officers are presenting me with in terms of the facts. And I will always go back and actually look for the detailed information. I will look for the facts to actually understand what is being asked of us and what will be the implications of that decision. It has to be transparent, and decisions have to be made in a way that there is a sense of rigour around them. So to work through the consultation, to hear both sides of any debate, and then to be able to think and make the best possible decision, I tend to go for a longer outcome. And what might the longer vision be? What will a community look like for my children? And when I say my children, I actually mean all children. Mm. So that's a very strong value for me. It's not, is this going to be okay for 6 months or a year, but what's it going to look like in 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now? Is our decision good enough? Is the facility that we're creating good enough? Is the playground that we're creating good enough for our community to really use and enjoy? So I try and take it.
You know, when Auckland had its 30-year plan before, we all had typewriters on the desks and we had secretaries who did the typing, and there wasn't a computer inside. Mm. Cell phones were the size of bricks. And when Bob Harvey said, one day you'll be able to hold the cell phone and read your emails, we couldn't believe him.
Exactly.
So the fact is, you don't know what the transport's going to look like. You don't know what the buildings are going to look like. You need a crystal ball.
I think it's a little bit like that. But in essence, it's about bringing people together and creating opportunities to share ideas and outcomes. So one of the things that we actually have with our funding policy for community grants is that we will not actually give a funding grant to an individual. And that's not because individuals don't have great ideas, but if they can do it with somebody else, whether that be their neighbours or one of our community houses and centres or another organisation, then the opportunity is bigger. The footprint that they will leave from that activity will be larger because there are more people involved in it. So it's very much about inspiring that connectedness within our community.
But what happens when you... And I mean, a lot of these local boards, they're factions. They fight with each other. They don't have the same vision. How do you cope with this sort of thing? I know it happens.
For me, so I've just finished being chair of the local board, and I'm now deputy chair. And I had two tickets, actually, on the local board. So for me, it is very important to have rigorous debate. And it is about putting forward ideas and really thinking about what is the implication. And again, it comes down to that decision-making. You've actually got to base it on the rigour of the information presented and that quality community engagement to actually really understand their perspective, and then work together. Because ultimately, even if there are factions on local boards, It has to be about a quality decision for the community, for the betterment of the community. You've got to take the personality out of it, and you've got to think about the longer outcome. And that's what I do, because it has to be about the community first.
You sound like Mike.
It's in the genes.
But I think it is difficult if you have factions and they and you don't see eye to eye. Or do you drop that and say, well, it's for the good of our people that we'll, you know, come to some amicable agreement?
Absolutely. It has to be. And often local boards will have different priorities, and often it'll be about where should the spending be. For me, I believe that most things in the community should be achievable over time. So if you can play the long game, you might not get everything that you want right now, but if you can get that planning in place, eventually everything that we want and need and deserve, we should be able to achieve by working together.
Well, we've only got a few minutes left, so do you have anything to do with Auckland Council? Do Auckland Council have a relationship with the local boards?
It's the relationship between Auckland Council and local, the 21 local boards is a shared governance role. So we've been doing a lot of work recently about the governance framework review and to actually understand the delegations of authority. And we're still working our way through that. But in essence, the governing body, Auckland Council's role is to set the rates and to set the higher level strategic direction. And for the 21 local boards, our role is to receive those budgets and to ensure the quality delivery of the outcomes, the work program that actually happens in each of our 21 local board areas. So,
are you held accountable for that?
Absolutely. Our community hold us accountable on an annual basis because we produce annual reports, and every 3 years when they get the opportunity to elect us again. So it's quite a rigorous process, and there is a very high level of accountability. And if we get it wrong, our community are the first ones to be on email or phone calls or text messages or on the street.
Or Facebook,
oh,
exactly.
My goodness. And actually talking with us about their point of view.
Well, thanks very much, Danielle, and I hope you continue. And can you tell me, how can we get other young women to get involved in politics? You have 3 minutes.
Be engaged, be involved. To learn good governance, if you're a younger woman, a younger mother, taking the opportunity to be part of a kindergarten or early childhood, to be part of a committee, get involved with that. Going through school, being on a school board of trustees is a wonderful way to learn some quality governance. Our community houses and centres, again, they have the opportunity to have boards that support them. Volunteering, actually being engaged in some of our community projects, you're going to learn a huge amount of that. Then there's the opportunity also to stand in local government elections.
Well, that takes courage.
It does take courage, absolutely.
And you have to have a thick skin.
You do have to have a thick skin, yep, because our community have such high expectations, and they deserve nothing less than the best possible effort that we can put in. So standing up, putting yourself forward, and being involved in your community, because there is no greater reward than being involved in your community.
That's if they're sweet to you.
Oh, no. No. I mean, I think our community is incredibly honest. They really are. But actually, you've got to have the longer-term vision.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure. Thank you, Joan.
And thank you for listening. Don't forget to listen next Sunday at 10 past 10. Or you can go to www.planetaudio.org.nz/Radio Shalom. And we would like to thank our sponsor, Nature Bee.